privilegiu să am o meditație scurtă la această sărbare, învierea lui Iisus Hristos. Și vreau să zic și eu, Hristos a înviat. Noi în America suntem privilegiați pentru că putem să sărbătorim de două ori, noi care suntem români americani. Și interesant, pentru că Iisus a înviat cu 2000 de ani în urmă. Numai noi zicem că învierea Lui tot și astăzi are impact în viețile noastre. Și sunt unele caracteristice care avem noi creștinii care spunem că suntem, de fapt, creștini cu adevărat. Și unele dovezi, și poate o dovadă este faptul că suntem pasionați cu adevărul lui Dumnezeu. Poate suntem mai pasionați să comunicăm cu Dumnezeu prin rugăciune. Poate suntem pasionați să cântăm cântări, laudă și închinare spre Iisus Hristos. Dar este altă dovadă care este foarte importantă și eu aș zice că asta este de fapt baza vieții unui creștin. Și dovada asta este pocăința. Și o să vorbesc astăzi în engleză, o să vorbesc despre nevoia pocăinței, despre cum pocăința produce în noi, de fapt, o reînnoire și cum prin reînnoire putem avea sau să vedem, să experimentăm trezire. Trezire e un cuvânt care am auzit eu în biserica noastră și în bisericele din loc, de când am fost un copil mic, totdeauna ne rugam, fiecare generație se roagă pentru o trezire spirituală. Revival is a fascinating thing because if we talk about the evidence of the resurrected Christ living in us, we say that, man, a manifestation of a revival of Jesus Christ is one of the greatest evidences we have. Why? Because there's a move of the Spirit. We see life change, maybe in a way in which we normally wouldn't see it. And that life change, we would say, is evidence. Look, God is active. He's among us. A lot of times we want to see miracles. We want to see signs, wonders, because we say, well, Christ did resurrect, but maybe I don't sense his resurrection in a real and tangible way. And so we pray for a revival, and we say, revival, let's pray for it, because then we know God is visiting us. And we have this idea that whenever there is revival, there is a visitation of the Holy Spirit. It's beautiful to think that God visits us and he comes to us, and it's almost like we imagine the Holy Spirit flies by, and here he is over the First Romanian Baptist Church of Atlanta. He's present, he's inspired some of us, he's visited us, and then he's gone. And maybe we'll experience a revival another time. And oftentimes what we do is we have evangelistic events, and we say, well, hi, let's invite everybody la evangelizaria nostra. Let's generate a revival. Let's try to do something. And those are important things. And life change can happen in the context of these types of events. But here's the thing. Revival will not happen, and there's no event large enough. There's no event loud enough. There's no event stimulating enough to generate a revival. There's only one thing that can bring revival. And what can bring revival is this concept of repentance. You know, now everybody's active on social media. I've been active on social media for a while, and I posted this little thing, and I shared it in a group of Christian professionals. It's a worship collective group, and I felt inspired because I thought it might speak to them. And basically, the idea of what I said was that repentance is the gateway to authentic worship. So if we say that our life is worship, everything that we are should be brought together, should come together, and should be a dedication, if you will, or an altar to the Lord as an act of worship. You know, typically we say worship is music, but we know that's the simplification of that. It's not just music, that's one act that we do. But to live a life of worship unto the Lord, the most important thing, and I said in this post, I said that repentance is the gateway to a life being saturated in worship. And I went on to say that, you know, if you're somebody who's praying for revival, if you want revival, seek repentance. Repentance in you will produce renewal or will produce transformation. And then when we have the repentance, the turning away from, the change or the shift in our mind, the realignment of our mind to understanding and holding God's reality and truth over our little concocted views of what truth and reality is. When we do that, we can then, in fact, experience and see an authentic revival. Does that make sense? So repentance, we see through repentance, we see renewal, transformation, sanctification, obedience to God, all of these things that are necessary for there to be a real revival. Well, I posted this in a thread, and in this group of professional musicians and Christians, one guy responds, and he writes, "Repent from what?" I was a little bit shocked. I was like, you know, the question is, do Christians who have repented still need to repent? Sau putem să întrebăm în românește, pocăiții trebuie să se pocăiască? Absolut trebuie. So the way I responded to this gentleman, this guy, and you know, I just simply quoted him the Lord's Prayer. I said, if it's embedded in the Lord's Prayer and the Lord is teaching his disciples how to pray, and he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us, then that means that's an essential part of the Christian life, right? So repentance, there is repentance unto salvation, but I said it in a way that maybe he would understand. I said there, then I explained to him, I said, there's acknowledgments that we have to make in our lives. Because I'm not perfect, and I sin against my brothers and my sisters, I sin against my wife constantly. And how do I resolve an issue between my wife and between God if I don't do it through repentance? What is that? He liked the word acknowledgement. He said, let's just use the word acknowledgement. I said, okay, I realize we're running away from this term repentance for some reason. We don't like it. And I said, okay, acknowledgement is a micro repentance, if you will. You know, we have these micro doses. Now they teach you how to micro dose your herbal supplements, you know. And you know, don't take large quantities, but you can do them in small quantities. Okay, well, I'll give this to you. There's a repentance unto salvation, but there's a constant repentance in the life of a believer who is being renewed, who is in the process of sanctification, and we are always realigning ourselves as we're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We are constantly realigning ourselves. And this self-examination, this examination that we do, where we reflect upon ourselves, where do I stand in relationship to God? That is the essence of what repentance is. And I want to show you guys what the Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians 4. And if anybody understood a life lived in the resurrection, there's a place in Philippians 3 where Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. I mean, the Apostle Paul was saturated, he reveals in Philippians 3. He was saturated in this concept that he wanted to live the life, the newness of the life that Christ offers us through his resurrection. Listen to what he says here in Ephesians 4:22. He says, in reference to your former manner of life, you have been taught to lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you may be renewed. Here's this word, renewal. The Apostle Paul also uses this word in Romans where he says, do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Wherever you're going to experience an authentic renewal, there is always a repentance. There is also always a realignment. And it's like, have you ever seen a Christian who, I mean, is just filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the fruit of the Spirit, another evidence that we have, that we are, in fact, living the resurrected life of Christ in us, the fruit of the Spirit. And he says, but renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self which is offered, which is what? The resurrected life of Christ, which is in the likeness of God, which has been created in righteousness. Who is our righteousness? Jesus Christ. And holiness. Whose holiness have we been given? Jesus Christ. Of the truth. And who is the way, the truth, and the life? Christ. Another place we read, put on Jesus Christ. Put on the clothes of righteousness. So to this, to this question, I asked it in Romanian, pocăiții trebuie să se pocăiască. Do Christians have to repent? They constantly need to repent. And in fact, you know, people are trying to reframe what's happening right now with the COVID-19 crisis, and they're saying, you know what? God is using this as an opportunity. I believe he is. I believe he is always working. And you know what? For me, this crisis has been like an incubation for inspiration. I've been, receiving so much truth, so much revelation from his word deposited in my heart, and I'm communicating it to my family. And, you know, there's a sense of revival that I see that is happening in me and in my family. And, you know, how are we reframing this? Well, God is giving us opportunity in a difficulty. There's no doubt about it. God is probably going to produce in this and filter out, you're hearing this, maybe the mega churches are going to eventually disappear. Who knows? Because if large gatherings can't continue, maybe the churches that are 500 plus, 150 plus, you know, are not going to be able to meet anymore. And maybe the only churches that are going to thrive are the small home community churches. Maybe ones like this church right here, maybe like our church. And people are hoping, they're praying, they're saying, let there be a revival. Let's see if God can revive our spirit so that when we come, last time when I was here, I said, maybe this church is going to be filled. How beautiful would it be for the church to be filled? How beautiful would it be for God to actually produce a revival in our midst? I say amen and hallelujah. I hope that God accomplishes that. But in order for God to accomplish that, let's not be deceived. We have to come before the Lord in a spirit of repentance. And we have to come before the Lord and say, Father, I don't want you to just help me through these difficult times, through these moments. Don't visit me. Don't just pass over my house. Don't just protect me from this virus. But I want you to indwell me. I want you to take residence within my house, in my heart. You know, we're limited. It's almost like we're restricted now within our house, right? Imagine if there was a revival that started in our house. You know what would change? When we decided to come back to the church, let's say it happens in May and June and July. We're not going to come praying, Domine, trezire, vrem trezire, Father in heaven, please bring a revival as we enter this church. We've been through a lot. You know what's going to happen? We're going to bring revival within our hearts. We're going to carry revival within us. And it would be an amazing thing, because I believe that the power of God would change our community. You'd see life change. You'd see encouragement. You'd see the word of God being lifted up and valued above everything. Why? Because we spent the time in the difficulty and God transformed us. Și pot să spun și asta în românește. Ideea mea principală este că ce fain ar fi ca să fie o trezire spirituală în contextul în care trăim acum. Și poate vă gândiți acasă mulți din dumneavoastră, Doamne, trezește-ne! Doamne, vrem să mergem la adunare ca să simțim o trezire spirituală. Dar cum ar fi ca noi, care suntem acasă, să venim înainte lui Dumnezeu cu pocăință? Să spunem, Doamne, să ne cercetăm prima dată. Doamne, ce poți face în mine? Ce poți face în familia mea? Ce poți reînnoi Tu în viața mea? Ca Tu să iei loc, nu numai să mă vizitezi, să vii acum că sunt timpuri grele și să ne protejezi de virus, dar cum ar fi ca să spunem, Duhul Sfânt, vino în mine, găsește-ți locul în mine, fă o transformare. Și atunci când venim împreună, nu ne-am gândit, Doamne, rugăciunea noastră n-ar fi, Doamne, fă o trezire în biserica noastră, noi am venit cu trezirea spirituală în noi, am venit treziți. Domnul să ne ajute la asta, Domnul să fie slăvit și în contextul în care fiecare ne aflăm. Amin.